Want to remind you that note a couple of figures of speech, and want to remind you that it is a thing of mine to misuse figures of speech at times. So if I do that today, just pretend that it means what I say it means. But we know the figure of speech, the handwriting on the wall, and we're going to see where that comes from this morning. We also know the figure of speech to not shoot yourself in the foot, okay? And in fact, we actually, in Pittsburgh, know a guy that tried to literally make that phrase come to life. If you remember, in the early part of this century, we had a wide receiver named Plexico Burress. Anybody remember him? Okay. And eventually he left the Steelers and went on to play with the New York Giants. And on one occasion in New York City, he walked into a nightclub carrying a gun. And I think he was carrying it illegally. I think that's what led to the issue. And he somehow set off his gun while it was where it was, and he literally shot himself in the foot. So we do that to ourselves sometimes, though. Huh? Anybody ever shot yourself, not literally, but in the figurative sense, shot yourself in the foot? Where sometimes our problems, they come to us because just circumstances, and that's just life, and things happen. Somebody else did something, it wasn't me. But other times, our problems and our circumstances are as a result of our own behavior and our own choices, and we don't want to go through those things, but we, in a way, have shot ourselves in the foot. And we want to make sure that we don't do things like that. Anybody interested in making sure you don't do things like that, okay? That you alleviate complications that we kind of have within our control that God has put within us. Well, we are living in an unusual time, and as much as we're sick of talking about it, it is our reality. Whether you're on the side of you believe the danger of this virus and the concerns that it brings and that it hangs over us, the concern of whether or not we could get it. Again, I know personally the stories are not a lie in that you can be healthy and get the virus and die. As I said, my uncle at 66, very healthy, got it, and with a couple weeks had left this earth. We've known extended friends and such acquaintances that in their 30s and got it and died. So it is a reality. Whether or not it's as bad as we think other people see it, it is a thing. And even if you think it's no big thing, it's just like the flu, it's just a common cold, I'm not concerned about that. There are still all the political repercussions and the ways in which we have to live in unusual ways with the restrictions, the businesses that have to close because of this, the economic impact of it, the social climate that we're in. Everybody's a bad guy now, depending on which side you're on that fence. And we live in a day in which there's a lot of circumstances that are not good. They're not the way we want them to be. We're heading into Christmas. We had a Thanksgiving where, for some of us, things weren't what we wanted them to be, and Christmas is going to be the same way. I know a friend that had a loved one pass away, and they were out of state and were having to decide if they want to go into that state for the funeral, and it led into kind of a family civil war where people are upset about, you know, whether someone is coming or isn't coming, and that's what we're in. And we're okay, us that are following the Lord Jesus, we're okay that if we're in that, because that's, we're in a fallen world, and that just, that these things happen sometimes, or God has a will, and sometimes things that are difficult and challenging somehow bring about his good will, and so we're okay with that. But sometimes they're as a result of our own actions. And what we want to ask ourselves, and don't be concerned, I'm not one of those CBN personalities that are going to tell you that the pandemic is our fault and that's why, and all we got to do is change this and the pandemic will go. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you from the experience of Belshazzar that there are times that God brings bad circumstances in our lives because of our behavior and our choices, and he's waiting for us to repent. What if, and I'm not saying it is, I'm saying what if some of the pandemic experiences we are experiencing are as a direct result of some of our choices. Because if that is the case, we would like to know. One, because we can do something about that. If it's just God's will, you can't really do something about that. You have to surrender to his will. If it's because we just live in a fallen world, there's not a lot. You can do some things, but not a lot that you can do about that. But if it's because of our behavior, well, there's something we can do about that. And when I think about Belshazzar, which is interesting because Daniel's given Babylonian name is Belteshazzar, which is very similar to Belshazzar's. Belshazzar is the son of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has now died, and Belshazzar is ruling in his father's place. And we're going to see in a moment where a hand shows up, and it makes me think of an old TV show that you might remember that eventually turned into a movie. They might have had an animation about it, about a family whose last name are the Adams. Remember the Adams family? And there is a character in there called Thing, and it was just this severed hand that was just alive and moved around and did things. Well, that was not original to the writers of the Addams Family, I hope you know. It's amazing how many things we think we were creative and God already came up with that idea. So in Belshazzar's time as he rules, he is satisfied with his condition, and he's in a high power position. He has wealth and all of those things, and things are kind of going great right now in his nation, and he's pleased with that, and he decides to have a celebration, and he invites friends and different people over. It's possible that this kind of party went into the realm of like an orgy, an immoral type gathering that's happening. They're boasting of different things, and he's boasting of their power and such, and he is praising the gods for what they've given, and there's this pride and this arrogance that is there. And while they're celebrating, Thing shows up. Well, I guess that's not actually in Daniel, the name, but a hand shows up. And I want you to imagine that. You're just having a party, and a hand shows up, a severed hand, no body connected to it, shows up in front of a wall and begins to write a message, and you can't read it. You don't know what the message is saying. And so terror comes upon Belshazzar, as it would likely all of us as well, as much as we would like to think that we would be like, oh, that's cool. We would probably be terrified, and I know because there's some of us who are terrified if a little tiny mouse goes running through a home, let alone something like a hand. So Belshazzar is terrified, and he begins to do what his father did. He gets advice, and so he gets all his wise men and his satraps and his Chaldeans and all these people together, and he asks them, what does this say? What is going on? And then the queen tells him, which it's not clear if this is the queen, Belshazzar's wife, or if this is his mother, the queen, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, but nonetheless, the queen here reminds Belshazzar of a guy named Daniel, who gave his father advice and could understand mysteries. And so they find Daniel, and they bring Daniel to the party, and Daniel is asked, what is this? What does this mean? So Daniel explains what the phrase means. And the phrase means that Belshazzar is going to lose his kingdom. It's going to be stripped from him. He's going to lose his life this night. And that Belshazzar was hanging in the balance. Now, we don't necessarily understand that in an experiential sense, but back then they used to weigh out weights to determine if someone was actually giving the amount that they were supposed to give. And it says that Belshazzar was hanging in the balance and found wanting. He was lacking a great many things, and that's why the kingdom was going to be stripped. He was going to lose his life, and he was going to have a kingdom that after his life would be divided. It would be at this moment that it would begin to turn to the Persian Empire. Now, why was all of this happening? Because of Belshazzar's personal actions. There are times that God either allows or brings into our lives bad circumstances and experiences. Why? Because of our own personal choices and behaviors. And again, I'm not saying that That is the case for every suffering. But that is an option as to why at times we are in the circumstances we are. And Peter says, and I know I've referenced Peter a number of times going through this series, that's predominantly because in Peter's epistle he writes a lot about suffering and going through things. And Peter says in 1 Peter 3:17, "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." So yes, we can suffer and be right with God, but let's make sure that we're not suffering because of doing wrong. Amen? And so again, we accept, and here's the scenario. When we face suffering, it's likely because of four different reasons, possible reasons as to why we're in the circumstances we are in. One is because, like I said, it's God's will. Sometimes the only way to bring about the greater good is for us to suffer. And those of us who have gotten into a right place with Jesus, we know that and we accept that. And we're okay with, God, if I need to go through this because it serves your purposes and your will, that's fine. Another option is because, and we've mentioned this, we live in a fallen world. God allows people to make choices, and so people all around us are making choices on a regular basis that are affecting our lives. And we have also made choices that have hit people's lives. And since Adam and Eve, you and I and everybody in human history have been compiling sin upon sin and making this world a worse place than what it should be. And we understand that. But a third reason why we suffer at times is because we have failed God and we've behaved in different ways and we've walked in sin. What is the fourth option? Well, the fourth option is what I call the combo box. That is that sometimes we go through things because a combination of those first three. Sometimes it's because it's God's will and because there are sin issues that need to be dealt with. Sometimes it's because we're in a fallen world and it's because God has a will he's trying to make sure takes place. I know that some have said, not in this church, because this church is perfect and flawless. But I know that in some churches, the comment has been said when someone has contracted COVID, how could this happen? We've been praying that this wouldn't happen. How could this happen? We've been trying to live the right way and all that stuff, and still this person got COVID. How could that happen? Well, we know the reasons by what we just reviewed. Sometimes it's because, again, we live in a fallen world. All of us are going to eventually get sick and die. You know that? And it's not because you sin necessarily, it's because that's the fallen world. And so sometimes we unfortunately swing the pendulum when it comes to understanding suffering. And so here's the first thing. If we say, well, we haven't had very many COVID cases in our church, so it must be because we're more obedient and more faithful to God, and that's why we didn't get anything. And I know that people out there, not thinking what they're saying, will say, well, I know God's going to protect us and keep us from getting COVID. And can he do that? Absolutely. But what you might unintentionally be saying is those of you out there that did get it, it's because you're not faithful to God, and that's why you got it. And that can be the case sometimes, but it might not be. And so us, as much as we would love for there to be a cookie-cutter answer to everything, wouldn't you just love that? If sometimes it's just, if this happens, that's the answer. But that's not the way it is. When suffering happens, sometimes it's this reason, sometimes it's that reason. And it's up to us to seek the Lord for discernment on what it is. Because if it's God's will that we suffer, if it's because we're a part of a fallen world, then that demands one kind of a response. That demands me to not fight against it and try to change my circumstances, but to trust God as I walk through them. But if it is because of my sin in my lifestyle, and I decide I'm just going to trust God through this and just trust God through that, it's not going to change things. The answer in that scenario is I need to repent. I need to get my life straightened out, and I need to change some things. And so it's vitally important that we learn to discern what's taking place when we suffer. And be careful not to point the finger at others when they suffer. I am convinced that this pandemic that we are encountering is in the combo box. I think that God is trying to do a lot of things right now, and some things differently for this group of people than he is for that group of people. And I think that some people have contracted COVID because of the different issues that are in their life that God's trying to get their attention. And I think other people have contracted COVID because they're in a fallen world and the filth has spilled over on them. Some because some greater good from God. I believe that my uncle, who was a follower of Jesus Christ, that God's intention was there's some greater good that's going to happen in his family as a result of him leaving. But we want to make sure that it's not because of me. And so if by chance you are headed towards a future of contracting COVID or anything worse than that, a hand that's about to write on your wall, I want to make sure, and I hope you want to make sure, that it's not going to be because we did something wrong. So what are the wrong things that happen? Well, in Daniel chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, Daniel is now answering Belshazzar and explaining to him in a prophetic way why Belshazzar is about to lose what he's going to lose. Verse 22, "And you, his son," being the son of Nebuchadnezzar, "Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways you have not honored." Now, I forgot to mention that part of the story that as a result of the captivity, the Babylonians had taken the stuff that was in the temple of the Lord. And some of these were vessels and cups and different things that were used for their ceremonies. And they had them, and they possessed them, and they decided they were going to use those for this party that they were a part of, and that was a part of the issue that brought about the hand. So if we want to escape God's judgment, there are seven actions that we see in this passage that we need to take to make sure that we are not the cause of the suffering that we are experiencing. The first is verse 22, Daniel said to him that he had not humbled his heart. Our first goal in life is to make sure that we humble ourselves, that we always stay humbled. And the word humble comes from that word humiliation. And not that we necessarily want to be humiliated, but we want to often make sure that we're checking to see, you know, I'm human. I'm finite. I don't know everything. I can't do everything, and I'm not always right. Would anybody admit that with me? You are not always right, okay? The rest of you, as I've said before, what did Peter say to Ananias and Sapphira? But when we encounter things, yeah, thank you, Carol. When we encounter someone challenging us and questioning our viewpoints and questioning the way we're living, is our response to that to shut them down and say, well, no, I know I'm not wrong. There's no way I could be wrong in that. And we silence the conversation or we avoid them and try to stay away from them and those kind of things because we know that, no, I don't have that issue. No, I'm fine. Now, that does not mean that because you disagree with someone that you're not being humble. But if you're not actually listening to what they're saying, if you're not actually taking it into consideration, if you're not actually taking it back to Scripture and saying, you know, I might have this problem, let me see. If you're not looking for other good Christian counsel in those things, then you're arrogant. You think that you have it figured out enough so that you don't need to listen to anybody. You're arrogant because someone challenges you and says, I think you're wrong, and your quick answer is, no, I'm not. Have you ever encountered people that are argumentative like that? You're wrong. No, I'm not. Maybe you're that type of person. And again, that faith thing of, well, I know I have enough faith, so I know this thing can't touch me. Remember, Jesus was stood by Satan on top of the pinnacle of the temple and told to throw himself down because he should just trust that God will rescue him. Arrogance. And Jesus said, no, no, no. Thou shalt not put the Lord your God to the test. And I wonder, because we are in a pandemic that was preceded by another pandemic that we're still in. And some might point to the false religions that are in our country as the reason for the pandemic we're experiencing. Some might point to the sexual immorality that's rampant in our country. But it would also have to be around the world, mind you, because this is a global pandemic, not a America-only pandemic. But when the Chronicles verse says to us, if my people shall humble themselves, who is God's people? Is it the pagans that he's waiting for them to humble themselves? Is it just the human race that he's waiting to humble themselves, or the atheist? Who is it that he's waiting to humble himself? If my people. And we might say, well, there's people in some churches that they're blasphemous and they're doing all this stuff too. So he's waiting for those churches too. But who really is God's people? Just because you walk into a church doesn't mean you're his people. Just because you claim the name of Jesus on your life doesn't mean you're his people. It's those who have actually been born of the Spirit that are his people. And I have noticed that particularly in America, but probably in other places, though I don't know because I don't live in other countries, that in America, in our American churches, we don't like the idea of being held accountable to somebody else. You don't tell me what to do. I'm going to go back to my own home in my own prayer closet, and I'm going to ask God to tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to study the scripture for myself and let the scripture show me what I'm supposed to do. And am I supposed to do that? Yes. But if you're doing that while rejecting other voices that God is sending into your life to challenge you, are you really humbling yourself? If you don't want to submit yourself, what does Paul say in Ephesians? To submit ourselves to one another. If we don't want to submit and allow someone to hold me accountable and say, you know what, you can't live that way, and you know what you said there isn't actually true, if we're not willing to submit to that, we're not humble. Because it's humbling to say, okay, you know, I'll hear what you have to say. And before we headed into this pandemic, how many people actually have embraced accountability in their lives from other people? And there is the Lord saying, if my people will humble themselves. Now, understand me. I'm not saying this is the cause of the pandemic. I'm just saying that if God is bringing this into our lives because of our lifestyle, then let's make sure that this isn't the reason. And if humility is the reason, let's make sure we humble ourselves so that this thing goes. Don't you want this thing to go? If my people will humble themselves. Second action we need to take, and this is an intriguing statement that he makes to Belshazzar. He says, though you knew all of this, what is it he knew? Well, in the passage he mentions that you knew that your father Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. You knew that your father was warned. You knew that your father saw the miraculous in the furnace and heard the wild statue dream. And you know that your father went wild, insane for a period of time before he was brought back to his kingdom. And you know that your father learned some lessons, and you knew that. And yet you still did this. The second action we need to take is we need to listen to warnings. I don't know if you have worked with somebody that you saw the handwriting on the wall. They were not long in being employed at that company. Never known that before? You could tell by the way the person was behaving. They're showing up late all the time. They're doing different things. And you knew that the writing was on the wall. They were going to lose their job at some point. Or you ever see a husband behave a certain way towards his wife? And you observed that and you knew the writing was on the wall. I don't know if this marriage is going to be good very long. And we see the warning signs all around us in other people's lives, but do we ever heed them to say, I need to make sure I don't act like that? Especially when we see that person get fired, or see that marriage end in divorce, or see the other issues that come in someone's life, see someone get broken because of taking on too much debt, seeing people behave certain ways and sowing and reaping the destruction in their lives, do we observe it and say, I need to make sure I don't do that? Belshazzar didn't do that. He saw his father go through what his father went through, and he still didn't change his ways. We need to listen to the warning signs, and perhaps the pandemic around us is a warning that we need to get some things straight. Listen to warnings. Third, verse 23, he says, you have lifted up yourself against the Lord. He says that because he had taken the vessels and used them, which is an intriguing thing, because just like God has said with so many other sacred things, they're things. They represent something, but they're things. In fact, these very things, God was okay with a foreign country coming in and stripping them from the temple and taking them where they wanted them to go. These very same elements, years later, were going to be destroyed in the midst of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD that God was bringing and was fully okay with. So it's not really the pieces themselves so much as that these were things that Belshazzar knew God cared about. And yet he brought them into his party and misused them. And see, we need to make sure that we maintain a deep respect for the things that God cares about. Because sometimes, and it's amazing to think of like the Ark of the Covenant, there were times when one person mishandled it and nothing happened, and another person mishandled it and they died. That piece was kept so sacred for so long, and then now, where is it? Because it's not really the peace so much as it's, do you respect the things that God cares about? So we have a written word in the scriptures in the Bible, and do you have a deep respect for God's word that I need to make sure I'm reading it and studying it? I need to make sure when I hear what it tells me to do that I'm heeding what it says because I have a deep respect for the word of God. Or do we read it and say, yeah, well, that's too hard. Or, maybe I just misunderstand. I'm not going to read that passage anymore. Or maybe I'm just going to leave that on the shelf for now or delete that app from my phone. Deep respect for the things of God, his body. What is the body of Christ? It is you and I and all the believers are the body of Christ. Do you have a deep respect for the body of Christ to make sure that you're connected with the body of Christ in some way, that you're treating the body of Christ well? Because that's his bride. The body of Christ is his bride. And just like Belshazzar, you could find yourself disrespecting Jesus Christ by the way you treat your brother and sister in Christ, and you are putting yourself up against the Lord, thinking it's just a person. Even the unbeliever who is made in the image of God, we find ourselves insulting and coming against and gossiping about others, and we don't maintain a deep respect for the things that God cares about. What about his name? His name, though wrongfully so, because despite your actions, God is always perfect, always flawless, always loving, but not in the mind of the people that let you represent Christ to him. How many times do we damage the name of Jesus Christ because the way we behave to someone out there? We slap that bumper sticker on our car and then we act in road rage and saying, yes, I represent the name of Jesus Christ. We wear that shirt that says those Christianese things on it, and then we ream out the person at the checkout line, or we walk into the store and say, I don't know why you guys need to make me wear this mask thing. And we behave in unkind and ungodly ways, and they see your shirt and they go, that's who Jesus is. Do we maintain a deep respect, because God cares about his name, a deep respect for the things that God cares about? Or is thing showing up on your bedroom wall, writing a phrase on it? Sometimes we're suffering the things we're suffering because, not because it's a fallen world, not because it's just God's will, but because we're bringing the damage to ourselves. And again, don't misunderstand me. Not everybody's suffering is because of this. But let's make sure we get out of the way so that it's not because of us. Fourth action we need to take. Verse 23, he says to Belshazzar, you have praised the gods, and then he mentions the gods of various material elements. The fourth action we need to take is we need to understand trust, the nature of trust. Belshazzar was praising the gods of these things because these were the things he thought made him something. These were the things that he thought brought the prosperity in his life and the power and the favor in his life. And not that it's a problem to have stuff. If it was, we'd all be in trouble because we all have stuff. Some of us too much stuff. Some of us are a pack rat full of stuff. The problem is when we count on our stuff and our things, that's what our security is based on. That's what our livelihood is based on. That's what our joy and our peace is based on. And you know how I know that we put our trust in things and not Jesus Christ? Because when the economy is going crazy, what happens to people's anxiety levels? They get concerned and fearful and panicked, and what are we going to do? Because they have placed their trust in the economy and not God. Did you know that God can provide for you in a thriving economy and a poor economy? We are not trusting in the economy to rescue us. Though we want a good economy and we want to do things that would help make an economy thrive, yet at the same time, that is not the God that we're praising. We're not praising the God of an economy. We're praising Jesus Christ. Do we put our trust in the government finding solutions for us? I hope that by now you have found to discover the government can't solve all your problems. Does that mean that the government is satanic? No, that does not necessarily mean that. Does that mean that the government is out to get us? No, that does not necessarily mean that. But what that means is if you're counting on your joy, your livelihood, your hope, on whether or not the government saves you, whether or not the government gives you another stimulus check or not, then you are praising the gods of government, economy. Some of us praise the gods of our ideology, whether it be liberal or conservative or any other branch of ideology, where as long as my people are in power, as long as my ideology is promoted, then I know everything is fine. Don't put your trust in false gods. You see, today, false gods are not contained in statues. They're contained in other things that we place our trust in. Do we put our trust in television personalities and claimed modern prophets that as long as they get it right, I know I'm good. As long as I read their stuff, I know I'm good. There are some people that are reading more of modern prophets' books and listening to their sermons than they are reading the Word of God. And there's not anything wrong with hearing other teachers. Otherwise, you'd all have a problem because you're hearing a teacher right now. But there is a problem if you're listening to all that stuff more than you are studying and evaluating things by the Word of God. Where is your trust? Because you can say, in God we trust, all you want. You can slap it on your money. You can slap it on a t-shirt or a sign somewhere. You can say it in a pledge. But if you are not actually trusting Jesus Christ that if all else fails, I'm good, then you're praising the gods of too many other things. And perhaps the reason why some of the problems that are in your life is because you are not humbling yourself, listening to the warnings, maintaining deep respect, or understanding the nature of the way I need to trust Jesus Christ. Fifthly, verse 23, he says, the God in whose hand is your breath. We need to be mindful of life's very source. The only reason your heart is beating right now is because there is an infinite God making sure your body's functioning. Well, you might say, but no, I had a pacemaker installed, so I know that it's not God that's doing it. The only reason man had the ingenuity and the intellect to figure out how to make a device that makes the heart still running is because they are running on the intellect and the wisdom of God. The only reason because medicine can treat you is because God gave man intelligence and wisdom. And because man is using the things that God created and figured out some things that it can do. The only reason you have internet and heat and air conditioning in your home and a home itself to live in is because God gave you stuff for which to create things with. And understand that no matter how unhealthy or healthy you are, in the snap of God's fingers, your breath can leave you in an instant. Belshazzar was arrogant and prideful and felt secure in his things, not realizing that it doesn't matter how many things and how much he had going for him, his breath was in the hands of God. And if you understand that when you find yourself facing things that are frightening and terrifying, and you're afraid of losing your freedom, you're afraid of a collapsed economy, you're afraid of a virus and all of those things, and listen, there's nothing wrong with being cautious. There's nothing wrong with following guidelines. There's nothing wrong with working for freedom and advocating and all of those things. But you have to understand that despite all those things, the only reason you're alive is because God. I love the scriptures that say that Jesus Christ holds all things in the palm of his power and holds all things together. And if I understand that, there should be no fear except fear of my own sin and my own actions. Sixth action we need to take. Again, he says, the God in whose hand are all your ways. Be aware of God's sovereignty. You think that you're making choices, but many times God is capturing you within the option of only two choices. Did you choose what country you were born into? What family you were born into? There are certain tendencies within your life that some you've caused, but others, they were just always there. It's amazing when you look at my scenario as we have adopted children. It's amazing how there's times I can look at my kids and say, I don't ever do that. I don't ever act that way. And I don't know where they learned it from. And then I meet their parents and I realize, oh, they said not bad or good necessarily, but I think they act just like them and they've not really been living with them. Because God puts stuff in us and tendencies and movements and things, and you think that you chose the person, you chose the Mary because you had free will, yet why is it that you like certain things in a woman or a man? Might very well because of the things that God has done in you. God is in control, always. No matter how many choices you have, God is in control. It makes me think of the trick we like to play on our children. When if they want to eat 15 cookies, anybody like to eat 15 cookies? Anybody on a sad, dark day, you eat 15 cookies? Or a whole carton of ice cream? And so we decide to try to imitate God's character, and we tell them, would you like one cookie or two? And they think they have a choice. Ha! They don't have a choice. Is my son in here? He might not be paying attention. Oh, he is paying attention. When in reality, we have had control of the situation all along. We just allowed them parameters. And God does the same. He allows parameters. He allows you to make certain choices, but there are many ways in which you are in the situation you're in because God wouldn't allow you outside of that. Lastly, the God, verse 23, that you have not honored. I need to live for God. Every bit of my life needs to be lived for him. It's not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to just read your Bible and pray. It's not enough to try to be a good person. God wants every part of our lives. And when you go to work, and we see that in Colossians 3, when you go to work, you work for the Lord. You might have a person that writes your paycheck, but you do that job so well as if Jesus Christ is your supervisor. You are a good husband or a good wife, not because your husband or your wife deserves a good husband or wife, but you do it because you do it to the Lord. Every single thing, you manage your money the way you manage it because you want to honor the Lord. You manage your behavior. You manage your friendships. You manage your technology and what you watch. You manage everything you do. Why? Because every morning when we wake up, Lord, what is it you want me to do for you today? I live for the Lord. I am amazed at the story when the Israelites were conquering the promised land and they were supposed to rid the land of every people group that was there. And they showed up upon these people who came to them and said, hey, we're actually not from here. We're just traveling from a faraway country visiting. And so they said, okay, we won't destroy you. Did you know that God said because the Israelites didn't ask the Lord about these people that they became a thorn in their side for centuries to come. Just simply not asking for God's direction can reap things in our lives that we don't want to reap. Now, does that mean that God's out to get you? Does that mean that, again, everything that you suffer is because you failed God and he's stomping you under his heavy foot? No. When we encounter, but that does mean that we need to take these things into account when we work through life. When we encounter blessings, we need to take these things into account. When we encounter suffering and trials, we need to ask ourselves, we need to ask the Lord, is this because of a fallen world and that's why? Is this because you got a will that you're working out? Or is this because I've done something to reap this in my life? And again, I need to know the answers to that question because that will determine how I respond. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? We're waiting for a vaccine, but what if the Lord's waiting for humility? And again, I say if, not claiming a prophetic message. We're waiting for a stimulus check, but what if the Lord is waiting for us to listen to the warning signs? We're waiting for government to enact some kind of policy, but what if the Lord's waiting for us to maintain deep respect for the things God cares about? We're waiting for the government to give our freedoms back. But what if the Lord is waiting for us to understand how to trust him? We're waiting for our marriage to come together. But what if the Lord is waiting for me to be mindful of my life's source? We're waiting for our children to come back to the Lord and not be so crazy. Anybody have adult children that are crazy? We're waiting for those wayward people to come. But what if the Lord is waiting for me to be aware of his sovereignty? We're waiting for this body to not fall apart as much as it's falling apart. For my mind and my emotions to pull themselves together. But what if the Lord's just waiting for you to start living your life entirely for God? And if you would lead us in, I need you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. And again, I'm not saying that that is necessarily the cause of this pandemic, but what if it is? I'm not saying that that is necessarily the cause of your physical issues and emotional and mental issues, but what if it is? I'm not saying that it's necessarily the cause of your financial hardship or the broken relationships, but what if it is? What if revival is waiting to break out by your choices? What if economic recovery, what if a turnaround with this pandemic is waiting for God's people to humble themselves, to listen to warnings, to gain deep respect, to understand how to trust Jesus Christ, to embrace the idea that my source of life is him and that he is sovereign and he reigns forever, and I've decided I'm going to surrender myself on the altar and live my life entirely for him. If God is convicting your heart in any of these things, or maybe even something that has not been said by me, but he's speaking it to you, then let us come to these altars and say, Lord, I need you, and I'm not going to anymore be the potential reason for my issues. I surrender to you. If that's you, would you come kneel at these altars? If you're at home, seek him somewhere in your home, and let's cry out to the Lord for his mercy and deliverance.
Lord, I come. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. runs deep. Your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, and where you are, Lord, stand or fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being our life source. Thank you, Lord, for being our victory. Thank you, Lord, for being our mercy and grace. Thank you for being our power and our wisdom and our strength and our source of hope and joy. Thank you for being our peace, Lord. Hallelujah. This lyric in this song made me think of the verse that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom, right? Whether I find myself in a country that has all kinds of political freedoms or I have the opposite, if the Spirit of the Lord is there, I'm in freedom. Amen? The Lord is my comfort and the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? So it doesn't matter if I find myself surrounded by a virus. It doesn't matter if I find myself threatened with sickness or any kind of thing. But if the Lord is there, I am strong. If I am in a weakened condition, for when I am weak, then he is strong. Amen. I see a gentleman standing over there. I'm assuming for a particular thing. Bad news is he's standing over there to be the writing on the wall.
Every year, we come together as a body of believers to show So we just have a little gift from the congregation that we, it's cards and different things in here just to show our appreciation towards